It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later, we'll take a look at what's shaping up to be the biggest bird survey Wisconsin has ever seen and how you can get involved.
First, we're looking into an oil train accident on the East Coast. On Monday, a train carrying 100 tanker cars derailed in rural West Virginia. The accident caused multiple explosions and sent some tanker cars into the nearby Kanawha River.
There have been a couple other similar incidents in recent years involving trains carrying crude oil from North Dakota's Bakken Formation. The trains go through several states, including Wisconsin.
Timothy Kama is with us to talk about how this latest accident is renewing the call for stronger safety rules for crude oil transport. Timothy Kama is an energy and environment reporter for The Hill. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Veronica.
So let's take a look at this accident in West Virginia. What happened?
So essentially, this was early Monday morning. This large, they call it a unit train, since it's carrying only crude oil, derailed in rural Fayette County. Some of the oil may have made it into a nearby river, but there were immediately at least four explosions. Fires followed from that. They had to evacuate a large area around it in a radius of about a half mile. The fires are still burning as we speak, actually, but the evacuations have stopped. They had also shut off water service nearby just in case there were oil leaks, but that water service has also been turned back on.
Now, there have been a few other accidents in the last couple of years involving transport of this kind of crude oil, haven't there?
Yes, there have been a few very high-profile accidents, such as this one. One of the biggest recent ones was in Quebec, Canada, in 2013. A train there lost braking ability, rolled into a town, and killed 47 people in a large explosion there. And that that really got the attention of regulators in Canada and the United States to take a look at this. There were also recent high-profile disasters in Virginia last year. There was one in North Dakota in 2013. So we're definitely seeing more of these high-profile disasters, either with large property damage or, in some cases, large amounts of death.
Well, if you just look at the volume of oil that's being shipped around the country, it's spiked quite a lot. Can you give us a sense of the volume of oil that's going through, maybe compared to 5 years ago?
Yeah. So the last year, railroad shipped 415,000 carloads of oil. So that's a lot of trains. If you're talking about about 100 or so cars per train. That's a really sharp spike from say 2008, when there were only 10,000 carload shipped in the entire country of oil. And really what's behind this is this large increase in oil production. Last year, the United States became the top oil producer in the world, even beyond Saudi Arabia. A lot of this is because of new drilling in the Bakken Formation in North Dakota. That's where this oil was from. That's where the oil in the Quebec disaster was from. And really, a lot of these very high-profile disasters have been oil from the Bakken region. And like I said, it's really all about this large increase in oil production, which has really it's helped bring prices down throughout the world of oil and gasoline and diesel and other products, but this is sort of one of the side effects is that you have to move that oil somehow. A lot of it is by train, and that's pretty safe, but not always.
The numbers of these oil cars traveling through the country, as you just said, are increasing so sharply. Have safety and regulations kept pace?
Well, to a degree, depending on how you look at it. In Canada, the regulators up there last year saw a very ambitious plan to get rid of the oldest tank cars. The standards for tank cars from both the United States and Canada governments haven't been updated in decades. So in Canada, they're phasing those out, the oldest cars out, for over the next 2 years, and improving standards there. On this side of the border, it's a little slower. Last August, the Department of Transportation proposed sweeping new standards for these tank cars that would be carrying crude. These standards are focused on things like braking ability, the thickness of the metal on the side of the cars, but also some other things, speed limits, things like that. All this aimed at both preventing accidents and then mitigating them if they do happen. Those standards, though, still wouldn't get all of these really old and unsafe vehicles off of the rails for about 7 years or sometimes even longer. That's once they're finalized, and they still haven't been actually, these regulations have not been made final yet.
Now, you said the United States has been a little bit slower to get a handle on its regulations than Canada, and yet the National Transportation Safety Board has been warning officials about safety regulations for tank cars going back to 1991. So why has it been a little bit slower to form here?
Well, as you said, the National Transportation Safety Board noticed this in 1991 and started raising the alarm bell. When it comes down to it, this is a very expensive proposition to try to improve the safety of this, because these are expensive vehicles. There are a lot of them, and no matter what happens, you're going to have probably an increase in oil prices if you try to do something too fast. Now, the industry, the oil industry, which generally owns the tank cars, and the railroad industry, which moves them, they've sort of been, if anything, ahead of the game here. A few years ago, they voluntarily improved their standards, but these new standards that they're using still aren't as strict as the federal government would like them to be. And in fact, the tank cars that were used in this derailment just on Monday were the new standard that that the industry has endorsed. So there's still a lot of work to be done to make these completely safe. And really, when it comes down to it, you can't prevent every disaster, but certainly the federal government is trying to do all it can to prevent and mitigate these disasters. They're not moving as fast as a lot of safety advocates and environmentalists would like them to.
Right, and some in the oil industry have said that the actual rate of accidents is very low, 99.something%, and that maybe towns should also be looking at readiness and emergency preparedness instead of just focusing on enforcement of safety of the rail cars themselves.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so the oil industry and the railroad industry are really teamed up on this as it stands right now. They used to sort of point the fingers at each other, but now they're sort of going at this together. Of course, it's hard to deny that there can be improvements made to the rail cars, but to the industry, they want to see it more holistically. What can you do with track infrastructure? What can you do with making sure that emergency responders on these routes have the information that they need and are prepared, have the right equipment to respond to these things? Because again, you want to prevent these, but you also want to mitigate them. Part of that equation also is speed limits, as I said before, and that's something that the industry thinks deserves a look at too. So there are a lot of things in this whole big realm of preparing for these, preventing them, and mitigating them if and when they do happen. The tank car design is only one part of that big equation.
Now, the White House Office of Management and Budget is currently reviewing draft regulations from the Transportation Department that would improve safety. Some of those things you talked about, the thicker shells, the braking, the speed limits. Where is that review process right now?
So the White House's review is the final review for the entire federal government. So it's really the final step that they're at now. Largely because of these big high profile disasters, the administration has really been public that this is a priority. They're working fast on it, but the regulatory process still takes a while. So they're planning. They're shooting for May to get these things finalized, and then to start enforcing them shortly after that. by that. But again, that's not as fast as a lot of people, environmentalists, safety advocates, and others would like. So they're hoping that, you know, this kind of disaster is really you know, encouraging the administration to move faster. But there are many steps that they have to take. There are many analysis that they have to do. Many people that they have to consult, and sometimes it's hard to get that going much faster. So, like I said, they were proposed in August. The White House is doing their final review now. They hope to get them out in May, and we'll, you know, a lot of people are going to be really trying to hold them to that deadline to make sure that it doesn't stretch out much longer.
Tim, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Veronica.
That was Timothy Kama, energy and environment reporter for The Hill. He was with us to talk about how an oil train accident in West Virginia is sparking new calls for stronger safety rules.